Coming up on today's edition of Locked On Eagles, it's our first game preview of the 2022 season. The Eagles take on the New York Jets Friday night in the preseason opener. What players should we keep a close eye on? That's coming up next right here on your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, Locked On Eagle.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We thank you so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Welcome in, Eagles fans, to a Thursday edition of the show. It's episode 4 of 5 this week, downloaded into your phone, wherever you get LOE. I'm Louis DiBiase. He's Gino Camilleri. We've been your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast now for 4 years running. And Gino, this is our fifth season together, man. And it starts tomorrow night against the New York Jets. We're going to get into a bunch of players to watch. Starters look like they're going to get a series or two, but there's a lot of backups, too, we're going to keep a close eye on.
First off, and for our listeners that are listening on podcast, I can't believe you're wearing
a Liverpool shirt. Did you notice before the show? I was looking down, so you wouldn't notice the logo.
I did it literally on purpose, just
to troll you.
You're lucky that we've done this for so many episodes, man. I love you, and I love doing this show, and I love that for once we get to see the Philadelphia Eagles take on the New York Jets, not in that meaningless fourth preseason game or third preseason game that it was last year. We'll actually get to see some big additions in some meaningful moments tomorrow, especially this rookie class and even last year's rookie class. Some of those guys that didn't get into the mix as much, like Zach McPherson, for example. I think guys like that are who should be ready to step up tomorrow in those moments. I'm excited for it, man. There's preseason games going on tonight while we record on Thursday. Tomorrow night, there's going to be a bunch of them. And then we got two more after that, and then it's regular season football. But it all starts here when it comes to player evaluation. Yep. We'll really be able to see what happens when, cliche as it is, those guys go out there and hit somebody in a different color uniform.
Well, and it's as important this year, if more than any, because of, I think, how limited, and we've talked about in the show before, you know, the NFL, the Eagles, and a lot of teams are trying to prevent injuries, especially soft tissue injuries, so practices are shorter. The Eagles aren't tackling to the ground most of the summer. You know, joint practices next week with Cleveland are important and Miami the week after. But these preseason games, especially for the roster bubble guys, it's going to be extremely important. But, Gino, overall, too, as you mentioned, it's just going to be fun to see some of the new additions on the field. I mean, we were talking before the show. I mean, just how excited are you to see just overall Jordan Davis come out on the field, a 6'5", 340-pound monster that runs like a guy that weighs 220 pounds. I mean, Davis is somebody I can't wait to see tomorrow on the field for the first time.
And I'll be interested to see how they use him. Do they put him in with the ones at all? I would believe that maybe for a series you see Fletcher Cox and Javon in there, and then they let the young guys go. And to see Jordan Davis go against the twos and potentially the threes.
Well, let's see him in like obvious passing situations on third downs, which he didn't get to do a lot of Georgia because of the depth of pass rushers there. Situationally, it'll be cool to see him in those spots too.
And this team, that being the New York Jets, yes, they've increased their offensive line, but they still don't have the depth that a team like the Eagles do, where really any other team around the league doesn't have two and three rotational pieces on the interior. What's going to happen when he goes against guys that are undrafted free agents or later round draft picks?
Look what he did to Cam Jurgens in that one-on-one at the link.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to see a man on a mission tomorrow, I feel. And Jordan Davis, the ultimate teammate, said he felt bad about the single clip that came out about Cam Jurgens.
Because by the way, you
don't see the full picture in practice. And really, that's true. And tomorrow is the first time that we're going to see a lot of these guys put film in an NFL caliber game at our eyes, and we're going to be able to see them and how they can translate. And if you look at players like Cam Jurgens, they're going to have to step up in a big way. Jordan Davis is going to have to step up in a big way. Grant Calcaterra obviously probably won't be playing due to his
injury. Like it.
Kyron Johnson, though, Lou, you talk about a player who could battle to find his way on the roster. This is where those guys that are athletes that do have the traits. That's where you can really flourish in these preseason games, in the third and fourth quarter, especially when you are going to get a majority of those reps. But the big names, man, Jordan Davis, if he imposes his will after 2 to 3 drives, I'm fine. Just
I know. I just need to see a couple plays where give me 1 or 2 reps like he had on Juergens on Sunday, and I'm good. Gino, it's not just the newcomers, though, too. I mean, like you said, there is some big opportunities for these role players to create roles and create a roster spot for themselves. I think a guy that really has to have a big night starting against New York and throughout this preseason is a safety that we've talked about, you know, over the last few months, Kevon Wallace. And I think why I want to talk about him more today is because Jaquiski Tartt, you know, when they signed him in June, Jaquiski, I'm going to get it right. Maybe we don't have to, though, because Tartt was seen as like a roster lock, a guy that might end up leading this team in snaps at safety. I mean, he's going to be featured with Anthony Harris and Marcus Epps, but, you know, Tartt left for personal reasons this week. He's been, you know, trying to pick up this new defense. Epps has been better. Harris has been better. He's not going to play on Friday. Kevon Wallace, it sounded like early on in camp was really struggling, but came on this week and made some plays. If he can make some plays on the field against the Jets, I mean, he's going to have to, because I still don't think this team should cut Tartt. He has the most experience of any of these guys and has been a long-term starter on a great defense, but Wallace could make it hard on them. And as we mentioned too, I mean, you could convince this team that Wallace is the special teams ace you keep at this position. So he's got to have a good night too on Friday.
That's fair. I mean, Andre Chassery, as good as he is on special teams, we'll see what he can do and on defense as well. Is he a Chris Maragos type of player, or can you actually put him out on the field in some sub-package situations? And you talk about players that this is it, these three preseason games, this is it. I think there's 3 or 4 of those guys on this roster. Yeah. Kevon Wallace, without a doubt to me, is probably 1A and 1B in that conversation. I think, especially on the defensive side of the ball, he is clearing away that one guy. Maybe Derek Barnett, but they just signed him to an extension. You're talking about
it should be Gino, but I think he's
it should.
Yeah,
Kevon Wallace really does have a chance to put himself in a good light and make some plays against these guys that he should be making plays against. Are you going to see him with the ones when week one does come around? I don't know if I would go to that extent. But can he play in sub-package situations? Can you line him one-on-one with the tight end and allow him to play man coverage? Does he understand where he has to get to in his zones? That's what you have to see, because clearly we haven't seen it and the Eagles haven't seen it since he hasn't been on the field. He doesn't have enough tape, in my opinion, to figure out if he's good or not. And in the times he was on the field, he was either hurt, he was either young, or he made bad plays, so he
the leash is tighter, Gino. That's the thing, is you don't have enough tape, so now you're going to get limited tape in these 3 weeks. Unfortunately, it's got to be really good tape.
It's got to be near spotless, in my opinion. Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. Gino, we'll continue to get into some players to watch as we look forward to the Eagles preseason opener at Lincoln Financial Field tomorrow night at 7:30 against the New York Jets. But first, a shout out to one of our sponsors of the day, and it's Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the planet. It's a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. And if you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you are depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. It's delicious. Indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite, cookie dough chunk puffs. They have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% chocolate. It's all of the flavor and none of the guilt of your sweet tooth candy bar that you love to go to. All of the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy for you. The bars are only 160 calories and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. Run to built.com to snag a box for you and the family. It'll be perfect for a treat to the movies or, you know, the drive-through in the summer. Trust me, they taste that good. I wasn't a protein bar guy before Built Bar. They've totally changed the game. Head over to built.com today. Use the promo code LOCKED15. Or I should say LOCKEDON15. That's LOCKEDON15. And you're going to get 15% off your order. Once again, head over to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON15. LOCKEDON15 for 15% off the best tasting protein bar. It is Built Bar. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Thursday edition of Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri, previewing the Eagles-Jets preseason opener on Friday night, kickoff at 7:30. at Lincoln Financial Field. Gino, we talked about some players we're really looking forward to seeing on the field for different reasons. Jordan Davis, the first round pick, just to see how they use him. As you mentioned, do they use him with the ones, with the twos? How does he look against backups? It'll be fun to watch him dominate those reps if he does get them. I'm excited to see if he plays on third down and long, obvious passing situations, to see if they use him as more of a natural rusher than Georgia did. Then you've got a guy like Kevon Wallace, completely different situation. He's fighting for his career in Philadelphia. It's make or break time with little to no tape. He's really got to come on these next three games. Who else are you really circling for this roster that you're looking forward to seeing tomorrow night?
We'll go back to the Jordan Davis idea, where I'm excited to see how this player will do in meaningful moments. And for Zach McPherson, I truly believe that with all of the talent that they have in that room and how willing he is to learn from guys like Slay and James Bradbury, that the year-over-year jump we see from his preseason tape of last year to this year should be exponential, in my opinion. And you said he flashed at the open practice. You noticed his length.
Slay's been talking him up. He said he's one of the most improved players he's seen throughout the summer.
And Slay had a great quote talking about Zach, saying that when he's gone, he wants Zach to be the next him or whoever that young guy is. He wants to prepare that next individual to take his place if that day, hopefully, fingers crossed, does not come anytime soon because he's still playing at a fantastic level. But they drafted Zach in the fourth round with the expectation that he could potentially develop into that cornerback too. James Bradbury is here for a year. If he shows out as that number two corner, a team might pay him again. He might get another big deal in this league. He's still young enough to get that. And then you have to go back to the same situation you were in this year, last year, finding that CB2. Can one of these young guys, especially Zach, who arguably has the most talent, the most athleticism of that group, can he step up and go against a guy like Denzel Mims, who might be the mirror image of Jalen Reagor in Philadelphia come tomorrow night? That's going to be a matchup. Let's see if those guys can duel it out. I'm excited to see what Zach can do. Really, that whole young CB room, I would say. You got Jimmy Moreland in the equation as well. You got Mack McCain. You got Tay Gawan. You got Kari Vincent Jr. What can those guys do? Where do they flash? I'm excited to see which ones have developed from last year to this year. A lot of them were on and off the roster a bunch of times. Mack McCain, he was in Philly and Denver multiple times throughout that season, getting claimed by one team, claimed by another. Kari Vincent Jr. is traded for. Tay Gawan is included in the Zach Ertz trade. Well, they now all have an entire offseason. This will be the first game that in this defense, they've had time to learn the system, take on coaching from the other CBs and safeties around them. And they're going to be asked to play a lot of minutes. Slay shouldn't play. In my opinion, James Bradbury shouldn't play. I don't think Devontae Maddox should touch the field at all.
And you know, the way they're battling with Devontae Smith and AJ Brown and Quez Watkins this summer, they're getting enough work.
They don't need it. Open practices.
Especially James Bradbury. Yeah. Seeing the videos of him and Brown going at it these last few weeks, I saw it up close and personal on Sunday. I think they're good. It is interesting. You mentioned all the corners and just all these young guys, how he threw at the wall and they're trying to see what sticks. I'm interested the same reason to watch these young tight ends. And, you know, of course, Grant Calcaterra is not going to play on Friday, which stinks because he honestly, heading into this training camp season, was my second favorite tight end. I thought outside of Dallas Goedert had the most natural hands of all of these players. I just think he was the most natural, complete tight end, right? But, you know, he's injured, and that really puts him behind the eight ball as a seventh-round pick. Jack Stahl, I will say, I'm curious to see how he looks in-game because Sunday at that practice, he looked like a much more improved wide receiver. You've got Noah Togiai, who you know the Eagles were very high on when they brought him in undrafted in 2020. They actually, the Colts brought him in, and you could tell the Eagles regretted it, and they wanted him back. They got him back. He looked good in that practice. You've got J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Talk about do-or-die time. He's trying to just make this 53-man roster at this point. It's kind of like corner where it's just – it's like a six-man bloodbath. Tyree Jackson can't participate right now because of the injuries, but his upside you got to consider too. There's just – there's a lot of players, and you got to sort it all out in these next 3 weeks.
It's a very similar case to corner, I would say, because you look at Calcaterra and what he can do. I feel like – Zach is almost the same type of player.
Luckily, somebody you only who, need one real main tight end on offense compared to corner, you know, where you need at least three.
You definitely want to be able to run 12, and they like to go big in those run sets. And Grant being out with the hamstring injury definitely does hurt. But you talk about a guy who he retired from football, comes back now and is still working on his game and crafting his game. But talk about the hands. He's easily the best one in that group, in my opinion. Stahl, when he was in college, didn't do much pass catching at all. Didn't really do that last year. They brought him in to be a natural third type of tight end that could be that blocking type of back, which he was when Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert are here. Now that hole is the number two. I think Noah Tojiai has a very good chance to make this team.
I agree.
Because you don't know what is there. Like you said, they regretted that move. That was one of those moves where they tried to cut him towards the end of camp, sneak him on the roster, but he got claimed by the Colts. Then they got Richard Rodgers in here to replace him. That's how.
By the way, he's also in the mix here. He's still on this team.
He could be the second best tight end that this team has right now, and I wouldn't be shocked at all. He might have to be playing in some preseason minutes as a veteran type of guy just to prove what he has. But what they have there is variety, much like the corner position, right, Lou? You talk about finding what each of these guys does well. We know Stahl can block. We want to find out what Noah can do. We know what Tyree Jackson's potential could be, but you have to see them do it. That's the thing about this position, much like corner. Yeah, you have a lot of guys, but when you throw it at the wall, you don't know if it's going to stick. You don't know if it's going to be an egg that just breaks. You have no idea.
It's truly may the best man win situation.
Right. You know, it's truly a competition.
Sometimes there's an open competition, if you will, in air quotes, but you know it really isn't that. When it comes to the tight ends, behind Dallas Goedert, the cornerbacks behind Darius Slay, James Bradbury, and Avante Maddox. Those are some of the positions you're really watching this preseason because it is, all right, young
if
kids.
If you could guess that, you should go play the Mega Millions the next day.
Yeah.
That's incredible odds that you could pick those positions correctly. You don't know what they like.
No
Does
idea.
Nick want a guy who's better at blocking in his offense for his second and third tight end? It's a new evolution. You had Ertz, you had Goddard, you know who those players were. This is the first time Sirianni and his offense has the chance to craft that tight end room in his light. What do you want in the second guy? What do you want in a third guy? Do you even keep three? J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, could he be on the roster somehow? Potentially. I do not know what is going to happen there. Like you said, may the best man win here. Whoever puts out the best tape, and especially for a tight end in a preseason game, you talk about a young quarterback, which you're going to be seeing a lot of. You'll see a lot of Reed Sinnett. You'll see a lot of Carson Strong.
The old adage
is they go and rely on their tight ends. Who's going to be the most reliable guy? That's what it comes down to.
Look at Isaiah Likely tonight with Baltimore, completely eating targets against Tennessee. So, yeah, I totally agree. Gino, another guy too. You know, I know right now linebacker is the hot topic with the Eagles defense, and the talk of the town is it's TJ Edwards, it's Kazir White, Davian Taylor. Those top three look really good. It's funny, after the draft, we felt like, and still do, I still think that, and I think you do too, that the Eagles stole Nakobe Dean in round three. But I think we honestly all assumed that TJ Edwards was going to take a step back. It was going to be Dean and Kazir White. Kazir White's on a one-year deal. Who knows what happens with him? Who knows what happens with Taylor's long-term development? It felt like Dean was the one guy where, like, we probably know this is a five-plus-year starter. Now, suddenly, it looks like he's fourth on the depth chart, maybe even behind Sean Bradley. I think, though, with Dean, it's kind of like how we've talked about the offense, where we want to see them because they're gamers. We want to see how they look when they can break tackles, right? When they can actually bring up RPO, you know, let Jalen Hurts the scramble drill, allow that to happen more. I feel the same way about Nakobe Dean, and it's why I'm excited to see him tomorrow, because I think Nakobe Dean is a gamer. Right. I want to see him command the defensive huddle. I want to see how he is with communication. I want to see him get sideline to sideline. I feel like Dean can really earn some of that respect back with these preseason games. And I think he's going to remind people why we thought for 3 months that him and Devin Lloyd were the top two linebacker prospects in this past draft class that should have been first round picks, that were not. Dean was not a third round pick because of. No, this training camp doesn't confirm anything about his draft status. That had all it all had to do with, you know, phantom health issues. So I would love to see Dean really shine in these games, because I just feel like once he does get a chance, he's not going to lose that job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head.
When right, like he doesn't flash. It. He's not tall. He's not super fast. But I think when you get him in a game, it's kind of like TJ Edwards. He's just not going to relinquish that spot.
And you said he's got to earn his respect back. That's the 31 other franchises. I think everybody in Philadelphia, man, we are hoping this kid is everything that we wanted and have hoped for at the linebacker position since the years of the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And the flash of Jordan Hicks that you had, the flash of Nigel Bradham. Can you get a true three-down linebacker in today's NFL that can develop into the core and the second quarterback of your team? That's truly what they are looking for. And N'Kobe Dean, like you said, Lou, should be a player that when it comes, lights come on, you're going against those guys that aren't going to be as good of athletes as him, aren't going to be as explosive. This kid should pop tomorrow and throughout the preseason, in my opinion. He's just going to look faster. He should look more explosive. He's going to deliver as big of hits as he did at Georgia. He was hitting right. SEC guys. You think he's scared of going against NFL guys? They're one evolution away at Alabama. And that's exactly the character that you want in a player. That's why they got Jordan Davis. That's why they got N'Kobe Dean, because they're two high-profile, smart players and guys that have played big-time minutes on the best defense in college ever. And in a room where this, I would say, is quote-unquote open competition, as you said earlier, where this team is very high on TJ Edwards. They do love what he has done, his development. They signed Kazir White, who should probably get those snaps. They're still invested in Davian. They theoretically could take their time to develop N'Kobe Dean. Would it be nice if year one he could hop onto the field and be that instant impact player right away? Absolutely. But do you need to rush him into snaps and maybe hinder his confidence? Which, like you said, this first time he makes an impact hit, his confidence is going to be through the roof. I'm there saying, let's see what you have in Davian, because you might not have to pay him after this year. You got 4 years in N'Kobe Dean. You don't need to press your luck on the health issue if there is anything. Let him develop and understand the NFL offenses. And it's all going to start tomorrow night, Lou, and get his confidence on track. And yeah. That's how you get guys to develop at a quicker rate, in my opinion. When they know and realize that they can play at that NFL level, things really start to click at a much faster level. That's why you look at a player like JJ, he's never done it. He's never had that confidence booster, right? Jalen Reagor never had that confidence booster. These preseason games mean things for players that are young, that are trying to find their way. If you're one of those people that says, why are we watching this? Just don't watch the game. Kids like, or people like Lou and I, and the people around the NFL that get how impactful these minutes are.
Especially after 2019, man. I have grown such an appreciation for the role players, the practice squad level players, the undrafted kids. There's a role for these guys for sure. Gino, you were a big Carson Strong guy before. I mean, he's going to get a lot of reps probably in the second half. How is your expectations, or should I say your excitement level for him, kind of died down throughout the summer? Because he was your guy coming out of Nevada.
No, I love this scenario for a quarterback like Carson Strong, who has the big arm and doesn't care about throwing an interception and is willing to make the play. In the preseason, you want to see what these guys have. Everybody can throw a check down, right? Everybody can find their running back and just dump it off to him. But are you willing to go and throw it up and make a play when maybe there's a corner and a safety cap in the guy? Carson Strong isn't going to be scared to let that ball fly. Much like Malik Willis, he was letting that thing air out. Bailey Zappe, yes, the was. Same type of thing. Those guys in this quarterback class, you talk about anything, I would say, even if it's not rational, not many of them had fear to make throws. They were not
Matt
willing.
Corral didn't. None of those guys.
They let that thing sling, and Desmond Carson Ritter. Strong was definitely one of them. And I'm excited to see what he can do with pretty talented young group, in a group that you talk about their twos and threes. You're going to get John Hightower potentially fighting for that spot. They'll probably have to play Greg Ward in some of those moments. Jalen Reagor for sure is going to be in there. He's competing. Well, let's see with these guys who have played in the NFL with a young quarterback, if this QB is going to let it fly and these guys want to go up and show that they can make plays, it's a perfect scenario for evaluation. I don't want to see the evaluation of just 4 or 5 yard Sam Bradford-esque type of play.
I don't think you're going to get that with Carson Strong.
And, I don't either.
I'm glad you mentioned Jalen Reagor. I want to wrap up the show with Reagor. I love that he finally, and look, I'm not the prototypical Philly fan that says, yeah, get after every player. Mm-hmm. I kind of understand why some players push back at fans, and I sometimes understand it. I understand why they would want a change of scenery. I don't think this city is always holding players just accountable, and you know they let everybody go if they work hard. I don't believe that. I mean, Nelson Agholor caught 8 passes in a Super Bowl, and he drops a key pass the next year, and he was instantly back to being public enemy number one. So I don't agree. I'm not all in on this fan base's mindset, but I will say I'm all in on when they hold guys like Jalen Reagor and Ben Simmons accountable when they're not giving the effort or taking the accountability. Gino, I felt like for 3 years, Reagor did not acknowledge really what his situation was or take any of the blame. And it was good to see that, you know, he talked the talk the other day. He stood in front of the media. He said it's humbling to be a former first round pick that is now battling for a spot. Some are guaranteed a job. He kind of pretty much said that he's got to walk the walk though, man. And you know, he's had good training camps for 3 years in a row now, but every time real game action comes, even not just the regular season, but the preseason, he hasn't lit it up. And you would feel like a former first round talent, especially with vanilla defensive schemes in these games, should make some sort of eye popping plays. Quez Watkins did it last year. His first touch was a 73-yard screen pass to the house. I mean, you've never even got that from Reagor. So I think it's all but over in Philly. But if he wants Chicago to come calling, if he wants the Broncos to keep sniffing around or Baltimore, you know, the talk, that was a good first step. But talk about a guy that needs to have a good 3 preseason games is Jalen Reagor. And again, it's not really – I know he said he wants to finish his career with the Eagles. They've pretty much done everything – but cut him. They can't. Mm-hmm. They're not going to eat $8 million. But if he wants to get another opportunity in the NFL, even a easier starting path to get somewhere else, he's got to connect with Carson Strong tomorrow night. He has to make plays.
When you look at Jalen Reagor, I think you said something very interesting when you talk about him being a former first round pick, as he said, and seeing other former first round picks that have had the bust label in Philadelphia get rid of it. Brandon Graham, arguably one of the greatest Eagles of all time. Took him multiple years to figure it out.
3 or 4, right? Yeah.
What happened if he signed that 1-year deal with the New York Giants? What if? You never know. But you have to find that balance. You have to find that Danny Watkins and the Brandon Graham balance. And one player on the roster right now, Lou, who I think is a good metaphor for this, Andre Dillard. Yeah, did he have some rough moments in his first couple years? Absolutely. But you talked about all the things that hindered him. He kind of had that baby fat to him. Like, he wasn't bulked up when he first came into the league. He didn't do much against the run. He didn't play at right tackle. And then the last couple years, he puts on mass. He's able to anchor. Jeff Stoutland, who doesn't just blow smoke to blow smoke, he says things to say things, has talked about the importance of what Andre Dillard has done for this team, having multiple left tackles that they can rely on. If they don't have him last year, Lou, what happens? Does Mailata stay there? Do they have to throw somebody at right tackle who's never played right tackle before? And has everything been glamorous for Andre Dillard? No. Is he even going to play this year? Maybe not.
And there was a lot of talk about him being soft, Gino. He got a lot of bad publicity, but it didn't feel like he let it get to him like it did with Reagor. And I understand some people – look, Philadelphia is not for everybody. I completely understand why if you're a struggling player, it would be very hard to bounce back here of all places. I do understand that part. But with Reagor, it's harder to relate to him and guys like Ben Simmons as opposed to Nelson Agholor, who I did think was giving it 110% all the time, and Carson Wentz and Markelle Fultz. Is because Reagor feels like a lot of the time, Gino, simply put, was half-assing it out there. I don't know. The effort has always been an issue. And so I'm glad that – and then he would fire back on Twitter instead of just saying, I need to be better. You know, I'm not the kind of guy that says don't ever push back at fans if it's unjustified, if they're being unfair. But I feel like all the complaints about Reagor were fair. So that's why I like that he came back to the media and just said, this is my situation. But now you got to see it translate to the field, which it – I don't know if it – he might just simply not have it, even if the effort is there. That just might be the reality.
And that's what the preseason is about. Is
yeah, we're going to find out. You can I can't wait to watch.
Finding the guys that put in the effort. That's what this time of year is all about. Finding those guys that you can rely on when maybe number one, number two does go down. We saw 2017, Lou. We saw it crystal clear what happens. If you have depth and you have guys that you can rely on, do you think Big V, if he doesn't play in all those preseason games, if he doesn't take all those snaps and OTAs and gets into a game, is able to just do enough to get by to help them win a Super Bowl?
Or Greg Ward all those preseason years before they needed him most to be their top receiver 3 years ago? I'm with you, man. It's very important. Eagles fans should know that more than any fan base, considering the last 5 years of injury luck. So we'll find out what happens. Starting tomorrow night, 7:30 kickoff against the New York Jets. Gino and I will have a recap afterwards as well. Subscribe to Locked On Eagles on all podcast platforms and on YouTube as well. And, hey, make sure you follow us on Twitter. Live coverage during the game at Locked On Birds, at DBLOE, and at GC24_football. Thanks so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Make sure your second listen is the Locked On NFL podcast, all the news across the league in under 30 minutes. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We'll talk to you after. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for watching and listening. And let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.